complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I direct your attention to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, and verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, the last three verses of it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul has been making reference to the journey of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and were journeying to the Promised Land. We read this morning in the book of Deuteronomy concerning that solemn chapter 13, where the holiness of the law of a holy God is declared, in that where there is a departing from the word of God, from the ways of God, from obedience to the holy law of God, there is one sentence, and that is death, not of just of the body but of the soul, an eternal damnation. And there is no compromise. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, dear friends, how this should make us fear. Because all of us have come short of the glory of God, the hope of heaven above. We're only worthy of condemnation. And Paul, referring to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, which the Lord brought them forth out of captivity, leading them towards the Promised Land, many of them fell in the wilderness. They did not see the Promised Land. They died because of their unbelief. They looked to themselves, their own understanding, their own feelings, their own desires, and turned away from the holy word of God, the holy law of God. And dear friends, if we look at those verses, and we look at what the children of Israel did do in that wilderness, would any of them have come to the Promised Land? What a mercy it was that some of them found grace in the eyes of God. And he need not deal with them fully after their sins. He supplied their need. Yes, physically. He supplied their need with manna for food and water from the rock to drink, and defended them from the power of those enemies who stood in their way. But when they came to the borders of the Promised Land, Moses said to the people, remember all the way that the Lord thy God hath led thee. Oh, they did not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Dear friends, that's the word which we must believe on in faith. the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And have we not got it before us in the Holy Scriptures? Or we can easily be plagued by unbelief through the circumstances of our lives. But the Apostle Paul here begins this chapter 4, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." This rest here, not being the promised land of the children of Israel, which was Canaan and the Jebusites and the Hivites and that which we now call Palestine in a larger extent today. But this rest being the eternal rest in heaven above. Oh, that promised land which Christ has gone to prepare for his people, the kingdom of heaven. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh, dear friends, do we fear? Oh, as Jesus said about fearing, didn't he? When he said, "Fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The judge of the whole earth. If we come to that day of judgment, oh, and we're still in unconfessed sin, we have not poured out our hearts before him as guilty sinners as we should. And dear friends, there is no hope of entering into that kingdom of heaven, is there? Oh, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel is preached. Oh, the Apostle Paul tells us clearly, but the truth as it is in Jesus in these latter days. Dear friends, it's been declared, it's been published. Christ spoke it himself. He hath fulfilled the way to everlasting life. It's the gospel, it's the good news. For each of us, dear friends, we do not deserve this mercy, do we? We do not deserve the mercy to be saved. Why, we have come so far short, for that which is not of faith is sin. Oh, what a solemn word that is. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, it was heard with unbelief. It was heard without any effect upon their hearts. It may have had an effect in their heads. Oh, they may have said yes. Oh, the truth as in Jesus is what we need, and we must live unto him. And it's a mental knowledge, like the parable of the sower. The good seed, the word of truth, entered in a heart to a certain extent, and there was an effect. But when trouble came, when difficulties came, oh, it was like the seed which enters on the stony ground. It had no root. And having no root when the troubles and difficulties arose, oh, the thoughts and the belief in Jesus vanished away. Oh, they could not bear it, the difficulties and the troubles. It wasn't rooted in faith. And then there was those with the cares of this world, like the seed being sown amongst the thorns and the thistles, which rose up quickly and choked that which had been sown, and it brought forth no fruit. There was no evidence of the fullness of the blessing of Christ in their earthly lives from their hearts. No, they were choked by the things of this world and the riches of it. And dear friends, they're such as you and I, aren't we, in our hearts. We're no different from those at all. But the seed that was sown in the good ground, in those prepared hearts, hearts which were wrought upon, as we might say, by the Holy Ghost, who convinces of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, dear friends, they were brought humble in faith to believe in the only way of salvation, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that shed blood on Calvary's cross. And they were the ones who brought forth fruit to his honour and to his glory, who lived to walk in his ways as we had this morning, to walk in his ways, obedient to his voice, serving him, cleaving unto him. They would enter into this eternal rest. Oh, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering us into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Oh, Paul is very searching, isn't he, to the Hebrews. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape the wrath to come if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, dear friends, is it a fear of you? Is it a fear of me? If we're left to ourselves, it will be so. If we're left to our own understanding, it will be so. If we're left just to our earthly intellect and thoughts, and it will be so. You've heard me say we can be doctors of divinity. And dear friends, know nothing of the sacred truth as it is in Jesus upon our heart and soul. Just a profession of knowledge like any other subject. Oh, how solemn to be left in such a state as that. Let us therefore fear. Dear friends, you know this fear will make us pray. And dear friends, we can pray because of the blessed truth as it is in Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, Jews, Gentiles. Oh, the sufficient power, dear friends, in to shed blood to save all that come unto Christ, unto God by Christ. But we do read here that Paul says there's those who through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, dear friends, when we consider what we are in and of ourselves, how daily we so easily sin in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We're thankful, aren't we, that our loved ones do not know all of our thoughts. Oh, they'd be very grieving to our loved ones. But he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Dear friends, fear can bind us, can't it? Am I his? Am I the Lord's? Am I not? am I at one for whom Christ died? Dear friends, do you fear such a thing as that? Does it make you tremble? Then I hope it does. Because the word of says to those who are of a contrite spirit and tremble at my word, to them will I look. Not in judgment, not in wrath, not in condemnation, but in love, as a sinner to be saved by his grace. That time of love to come, when thou shalt truly see not only that he shed his blood, but you will say for me, tarry his leisure then. Oh, as the hymn writer puts it, Christ came to pay the price of sin for needy sinners. And dear friends, needy sinners are such who fear what they will, which will be for them in the day of their death. But Christ has come, made a little lower than the angels, partakers of flesh and blood, that he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And how did he do that? By giving himself a sacrifice for our sins. As if he was the sinner in our room, place instead. Now this is love. This is the mercy, this is the grace, this is the love of God in the gift of his only begotten Son. And that's why we are here this afternoon. Because it's Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. And the truth of divinity in Jesus will ever remain. Oh, then, friends, do seek to pour out your heart before him. Tell him all the truth. I'm a sinner. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Paul writing to the Hebrews, the Jews, what was the role of their high priest? Their high priest once every year on the Day of Atonement offered sacrifices for their sins. He had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin. It was on that day, that only on that day, he went into the holiest. In the tabernacle or in the temple, with the blood of the bullock which had been slain, and there he sprinkled it upon the altar, and at the ark where the mercy seat was, where the cherubims covered that mercy seat, where the Lord had promised, there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. There that high priest went in, not without blood, pleading forgiveness for his own self and for the sins of others. When he returned, the Lord had accepted his prayer. They slew the goats, one of the two goats, and there the high priest laid his hand upon the head of the goat and confess the sins of the people. And then the other goat was led away into the wilderness, signifying a putting away of all sin, which happened year by year, year by year. The high priest, Jesus, made a high priest, born to fulfill the role that the Father had given him. Yes, to bear the sacrifice for the sins of the people. But that was of his own self. He gave his own body a sacrifice for sin. Or where the people of the Jews had to bring their own beast for the sacrifice. Oh, the mercy and love of God, in that he gave his only begotten Son to fulfill that he was the Lamb, God's Lamb, who would be slain, shedding his blood, such that those wrought upon by the Spirit of God in faith should believe in him, that he becomes their offering, already slain on Calvary's cross, there to confess our sins and to be healed, our sins put away, washed in the shed blood of Christ forevermore. Oh, what do we read in Paul writing to the Hebrews later on? For Christ is not entered into the holy place, that's the holy of holies made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Appear in the presence of God for us. All his people's names written upon his hands, as it were. I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. Those hands which were nailed to the cross, from for which the blood was shed. The death, oh, that agonizing death, to cleanse from all sin. God commendeth his love toward us, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, not one who took of the blood of bulls and goats, that was for the cleansing of the flesh to the Jews. No, gave himself, his body broken, his blood spilt, to pay the price for all sin once and for all, a pure, perfect sacrifice, where his soul was poured out unto death, and the sins of the souls of his people were put away from their guilt under the law, that holy law which, oh, cannot show mercy to anyone. Once it's broken, and the judgment is sure, certain death, damnation. But Christ, who hath paid that price in the sinner's stead, then, friends, he gives eternal life to all those that come unto him, confessing their sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us hold then fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, dear friends, it's those for whom Christ died, and that love shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost, who know their infirmities more than anyone else. They know the burden of their sins more than anyone else, because they have been brought into the knowledge of the love of God and the love of Christ, that love shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And when we transgress his word and and grieve the spirit difference. It affects our hearts. We can never say we have no infirmities in a spiritual sense. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's the testimony of the bearing of our sins, which we commit through so many temptations. As we live our earthly lives, day by day, hour by hour, oh, we're tempted, aren't we, to grieve the Holy Spirit, depart from the Word, not commit our way unto Him in prayer, or not trust in Him as we should, to walk by our own sight and not by faith. And you know, dear friends, when we do that, there's no grief in our hearts left to themselves. They're untouched. Oh, how many days and how many times in a day do we pass through, and we're not conscious of our sins. You've heard me say before, at the end of a day, if we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, as I trust we do, if someone said, well, what have they been? Would we be able to tell them? No. Such are our infirmities. Such is the deadness, as we might say, of self, which is still within us as we live our lives upon this earth. But they're known by God. They're known by Christ. Because He's borne all our iniquities. He's borne all our infirmities. He knows our griefs. He knows our sorrows. He's borne them away. Paid the price for them through Calvary's cross. Oh, what a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because in all the points of our sins where we've been tempted, he has been tempted in the same. He knows what it is. He knows our frame. Knows we are but dust. Yet he without sin. No, he was sinless. So the grave could not feed upon him when he lay there as the consequence of bearing our sins. My righteous servant, we will justify many, and he shall rise again to give newness of life to those for whom he died. Oh, dear friends, what do we say to these things? Are they the joy and rejoicing of our heart? Do we still fear? Well, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of grace. That's the way made through Jesus, our glorious high priest and sacrifice, isn't it? A throne of grace where the King sits. The King of grace. Ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes became poor, that ye by his poverty might be made rich. Or we can come boldly. That means with assurance. We've got liberty to come. He calls us there. Come unto me, all ye that labour are heavy laden. I will give thee rest. Rest. He rests in his love. We read that in the scriptures, don't we? In Zephaniah. He rests in his love, that redeeming love, which has paid the price for your sins, which has destroyed the works of the devil. And we can come there in full assurance that he is mindful of us. He will hear our cries, and he will answer those cries. He will answer them in such a way that will keep us dependent upon him. It'll be for the blessing of our soul. He will give more tokens of his love. He will assure our conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. That's our grace to help us, isn't it, in the time of our need. So So, dear friends, if you feel your burden as a sinner, this is the way of salvation, isn't it? There's no other way. Come unto me, and I will give thee rest. Let us plead together, saith the Lord. Oh, we do that at the throne of grace. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can do nothing for mine own soul. I am a wretch. I can only go and be judged for eternal damnation. But I plead the name of Jesus, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Dear friends, coming like that, there's the precious, precious promise, isn't there? Thy sins, though they be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Pardon, sinner, through the shed blood of Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, where our glorious high priest and sacrifice sit in heaven above, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. O Christ, our mediator, all the goodness of the Lord flows down, doesn't it, through Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Dear friends, all our temptations, well, let us bring them there as well, to the throne of grace. The way you take, the things that try you, your difficulties, your sorrows, your sicknesses, your pains, and oh, and Satan can get at you, can't he, through them. And say, oh, you're not a child of God. It wouldn't be like that for you now if you were him. He is a God of love, so it says. Well, if you don't know him as a God of love, you're not his. And oh, there's so many temptations he will suggest in your ears. Dear friends, it's by faith, which we've believed in the word of God as we've began there at the beginning. Oh, the precious promises which are yea and amen in Jesus, believing them by faith. Dear friend, that will strengthen us to stand strong in the times of difficulties and tribulations in this life. In this world, says Jesus, ye shall have tribulation, no doubt about it. But be of good cheer, or that word's courage, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Oh, it won't destroy your faith, not your faith in me. My faith is bestowed in you by the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, and he will be with you forever, a precious gift to cause us to pray in faith unto Jesus at the throne of grace. Oh, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace with all our needs, all that we have in the exercise of our hearts, all our troubles, all those things, dear friends, which tempt us to move away from trusting in Jesus. Pour out your heart before him. Find him a refuge. There we may obtain mercy. Yes, there's sin in all we do, isn't there? When we are tried and tempted, and our thoughts, oh, they soon are affected by unbelief and doubts and fears. They cast dishonour on our Lord, contradict his gracious word. Then, dear friends, the first thing we need in coming to this throne of grace is his mercy, his pardon for our sinful nature of our hearts, which affect our thoughts, words and deeds. And having prayed for forgiveness and obtained mercy, his grace to help us in the time of our need. A good hand of love and mercy. Or like those who prayed unto him in the Old Testament, such as Nehemiah in that great work he had to do. And also Ezra, How did they prosper? How did they overcome all their difficulties and all that was against them? According to the good hand of God upon me. Oh, they committed their way unto the Lord. They trusted in him. And he brought it to pass. Oh, dear friends, our prayers often are tainted by unbelief, aren't they? We perhaps think the matter is impossible. How can I get out of this difficulty? How can I be removed from this pathway? Oh, this darkness of my mind and spirit which it brings upon me, the doubts and fears and the lack of the sweetness of the presence of God. How can I get it? It's impossible. I cannot do anything about it. And no, can anybody help me? Well, dear friends, we have the answer here, don't we? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's in faith. Trusting in him who can do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think. And it means come humbly. We don't come brazen and say, oh, I demand this, I deserve this. No. Because you come obtaining mercy, dear friends, you come with nothing in your hand, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, I'm a guilty sinner, but I need all thy mercy and all thy grace. Do help me in the time of my need. Dear friends, that answer will come. Yes, in his time and in his way. And in such a manner that you'll be taken by surprise. Oh, it was, wasn't it? When they brought their troubles unto Jesus when he was here upon the earth. Jairus with his dying daughter. Before Jesus got there, she was dead. Oh, why troublest thou the master any further? Oh, do you come to a time like that? Things have got worse since I've been praying. It's not going to happen anymore. It's too late. Jesus said, only believe. Oh, the glorious thing of faith. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. And they saw the resurrection of his daughter, didn't they? Just like Mary and Martha saw the resurrection of their brother Lazarus. They'd sent unto Jesus. He delayed his coming. Lazarus died. But it was for the glory of God. Oh, dear friends, may your pathway, may your tribulations, may your great tribulations be used of God for the blessing of his name. Use for the blessing of your soul, for the furtherance of the gospel, as other people see what the Lord has done for your soul. And what about those in heaven who have come into that eternal rest through faith and trust in Jesus? They've come through great tribulation, so the scripture tells us. They've washed their robes, they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They were the saints of God. Oh, not saints in themselves, no. But they'd been gathered together unto the glorious kingdom of heaven. And there they were provided for forevermore. Those glorious robes of his righteousness. Casting their crowns before the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. And there to enjoy his peace forevermore. Oh, dear friends, may such an end be ours. There's only one way, isn't there? Seeing that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we've not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. He knows the way you take. Yet he without sin. Then let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, the assurance of faith. He knows the way we take. He's been tempted in all points such as we are. You cannot describe to him something he does not know, that we may obtain mercy and find that grace to help us in the time of our need. Dear friends, continue in prayer, that prayer of faith. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Oh, we may think it is, but that's unbelief. Trust in him forever. Thus that eternal covenant stands. He's loved thee with an everlasting love, and he will show thee his eternal rest. Amen.